Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris. His name's Craig. The Pirates just keep winning. I love it. I mean, they're going to take a loss. They may take a loss between when we record this and when it comes out. But a 5-0 start as we sit here right now. And I don't expect them to lead the division all through the year. I don't expect them to play it like a 900 clip or an 800 clip or, you know, like be like 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break. I don't expect that. What a 5-0 start says to me is this team has the chance of playing 500 ball or better. And that's all I want from them in the first half. Because if they can do that, the pitching help in the minors will arrive. Skeens will be here. Quinn Priester may be here. You're going to see help arrive. You're going to see, if he doesn't screw up again personally, Domingo Germán show up and walk in that door. You're going to see more help from the arms that aren't there yet. And when that happens with this young team, if they haven't been knocked out of it, the rest of the AL Central is going to be in trouble. I'm sorry, the rest of the NL Central. I mixed up my divisions. I'm so excited. I put him in the wrong division, Craig. But no, I mean, like, what a great start for the Pirates. And to me, it shows there's so much firepower and so much ability from defense to offense to just your order. This is a different team than it's been the last couple of years. My fear, though, is the rotation. Can the bullpen for a long season be able to pick up the pieces when we're just going start after start after start and none of them are quality starts, my friend?
That's like the weird part to me, Chris, because when we were doing the season preview last week, the thing that we talked about the most was probably like, you know, well, starting pitching is what will lead you, you know, to the playoffs, to, you know, competitiveness. And I know it's only been five games, but yeah, not one quality start. I mean, there's been guys that have gone out there and blown people away. I mean, Jared Jones, I saw him all over, you know, MLB Network. Fangraphs wrote an article about him. 22 whiffs in his start, the most by a player in their MLB debut since, you know, the TrackMan era. I think Joe Block, Pirates broadcaster, put it back even further than that based on some other data. But yeah, a very exciting start, but didn't get the quality start there. And I'm not downplaying, you know, what he did out there, because he put his team in position to win and looked really, really good at times. I mean, you get 10 strikeouts in less than six innings. I think it's like something ridiculous, like over 15 Ks per nine. Yeah, I mean, that is going to look really great. Mitch Keller did not have his best stuff. I mean, obviously Bailey Falter didn't do the Pirates any favors by putting them down 5-0 in the first inning on Easter. Something we also talked about last week, Chris, was that if you're going to have Bailey Falter as your quote unquote starter, you need to have an opener for him. Cause for some reason, whenever he has to actually start the game, he can't start the game. It just doesn't happen, but you do have those reinforcements. Martin Perez looks serviceable. Marco Gonzalez had a good start. The bullpen, from surprise people as well, too. Not even just like the stalwarts or the guys you expected. I mean, Carmen Majinski still on the IL. Colin Holderman making some appearances in AAA in a rehab. David Bednar, a little bit of a slow play at the beginning of the year because he was dealing with that, you know, lat tightness, his back issues during spring training. But like a Ryder Ryan, a Hunter Stratton. You know, Jose Hernandez getting the save in the first game because Rowanzi Contreras is on paternity leave. It's definitely been very interesting, Chris. And the other part of this is that, I mean, everybody always jokes about the battling Bucks, but it really has been the battling Bucks because last season, if we were down by, you know, 3-4 runs at any point during the game, you might as well turn it off. Like it was, that was the way the game was going to end. But the way that they fought back, you know, won two of those games in extra innings. But I mean, it's fun as a Pirates fan. If you're a Pirates fan and you are upset for any reason through these first five games, I don't really see how you could be.
You're looking for something. Like, I mean, people might think I'm looking for something by saying, look, they're 5-0, but I'll take 500 at the All-Star break. And the reason I say that is because you're like, oh, Perez, he was serviceable. He also put nine guys on base over 4 1/3. I mean, he just was very fortunate in that game, right? I mean, like, on one hand, I look at your young stars, your Keller and your Jones, the guys that are supposed to be good for you now and hopefully good for you in the future for future years as you're building this and becoming a better team. Those are the guys that went deeper in the game than anybody else in the rotation. Jones was really only a third of an inning away from a quality start, and it was his first start, so I'm willing to excuse that because, you know, he just got going. I mean, I saw Zach Gallen out there for the Diamondbacks not get a quality start. They're like, it's the first game of the year. There's no reason to take one of our star pitchers or our actual ace and, like, just pitch him deep into a game. We're still easing in. It's like extended spring training. And a lot of teams do that with their starters early on. So I'm not in a panic over the fact that you didn't have anybody go six innings. I'll be in a panic about that and worried about that if at the end of the month we're not sending a lot of guys deeper in the games. Because that's something, and I think that's something that Pirates fans, especially your old school Pirates fans, may not appreciate as much. Because for the longest time, the idea of a guy going deep into a game was a pitcher. It was like, well, it all depends on what the score is, right? Because pitchers used to bat. Pitchers used to, you know, you used to sit there and say, okay, well, I don't care how good he's doing. We need somebody up here this inning that's going to actually have a chance to drive in that run because we're in the middle of a game here. So guys would exit games early. But it really does mean something. It really helps your bullpen if you're able to stretch your starters deep into games. And you're going to need a couple of guys that do that. Otherwise, your bullpen gets taxed. There's only so many times those guys can go out there. And if you've got to use three relief pitchers a game, you're going to tax your bullpen to a point where you're going to start losing games late. So it is important to find those guys and go deeper. First time through, I'm good with it. Let's see where they're at after the third time through the rotation, if Keller and Jones at least are able to go deeper in the games. And let's be honest, Marco Gonzalez and Martin Perez are supposed to be innings eaters. That's one of the things you need from them. Because they're not there because they're top-end, high-end rotation starters. They're innings eaters. And they're guys that are supposed to be in there, eating up time out there on the mound, keeping your team in the game, this young, exciting team that you have, so that the bullpen doesn't get taxed. And they're really placeholders for what you hope is the eventual arrival of 2 to 3 names that are still sitting in the minors that have a realistic opportunity this year to show up, sit in your rotation, and have a greater impact than some of the guys that are in there right now.
Absolutely. And Chris, the thing is, of course, you know, Quinn Priester made his start on the same day that Bailey Falter was out there getting shelled. I think that Quinn Priester went 5 2/3 innings as well, had like 9 strikeouts, 1 earned run, was looking really good. Velocity was up, so people were kind of just going crazy. But with like the whole Bailey Falter thing, it's exactly what we kind of said what was going to happen. And I think I even made the comment that, you know, sometimes Ben Charrington thinks he's smarter than he really is at times. What he was trying to do is he was trying to get Fulder to go four innings, have Luis Ortiz come in, give you a couple innings, and get those six innings from somewhere else. Bailey Falter, I think we're going to see at least one more time, if not two more times of this. Before, you know, Skeens goes on Friday, he may get another couple starts in AAA or Priester. We may see Priester first.
Well, Priester, they're going to have to hold down just slightly because of the service time thing. It's a service time thing because he has 0.049 of a season in Major League Baseball. He's got a very small amount of service time. So if they want to control him for a whole extra year, and that's how the Pirates are going to operate because of the budget. Because of the budget that Nutting puts on the general manager has to operate that way. Priester's going to stay down for a little bit. That's what's so great about the 5-0 start. Because everything's working against you to have the quick start. If they can stay there and be a team that's got more wins than losses, and then these guys show up, whether it be midway through this month or at the end of the month, or even at some point late May, if you can be playing winning baseball and then you get these other arms that come walking in the door, everything worked out perfectly for the Pirates. It's a crazy plan. It's a plan you wish you didn't have to have, right? If you were a team that had money, or at least, I'm sorry, a team that spent the money you have, then you wouldn't have to play these kind of games. So the team, things are kind of like, everything's falling the right way. You know, they're rolling dice and everything's coming up Milhouse right now. And so they need that to continue in the early going. And what did we say? We said this all off season. If they can get off to a hot start like they did last year, this time around, they shouldn't fade because they're a year older, they're going to have more weapons, and they're going to have more pitching.
It's more believable, and I think that everything will kind of find its level. Like, the water will find its level. Like, the pitching, I look for more from Mitch Keller. Like, wasn't hitting his spots. Was doing the same thing during spring training, but I have more confidence in him to come back. I mean, Jared Jones is going to have his struggles, but, I mean, if this is his level for right now, then that's a good thing. Like you said, pitchers that will be coming up, and the hitting will not be as crazy and outrageous as it is right now. Because, Chris, well, as we're sitting here and as you were talking, I was looking.
Everybody's hitting. Everybody's hitting.
I looked at the WRC Plus. There are only two players who have been in there regularly who have a WRC Plus below 100, and that's Edward Olivares at 91 and Andrew McCutchen at 77. And for Andrew McCutchen, I mean, he had a tough couple first games out there. He was like hunting for walks. It kind of looked like a lot of people are pointing out that he only had 19 plate appearances in spring training. Like, I think that Andrew McCutchen, like, I'm not looking for great things from him, but I think that, you know, it'll get more up towards 100. But when you have, you know, Brian Reynolds at a 167, Michael A. Taylor at a 166, Aliko Williams at a 154. I mean, like that.
He's got 1,000 OPS. He's hey, none of that's going to last.
No.
None of it. But here, while you're throwing cold water on it, I do want to point out an interesting stat. Interesting stat for you, okay? Generally, the league average OPS will sit somewhere about like 725. Sometimes it's even less than that. Let's say somewhere in the 720s, all right? Is where you'll get the league average OPS, which means OPS plus, if it's 100, means you're at league average. That's the easiest way to do it. And OPS is your on-base percentage plus your slugging, and it's a really good indicator that you produce. You get on base, you get extra base hits. It's a far greater stat to me than batting average even. And if you look at the current OPS pluses, a 732 by Olivares still has him as an OPS plus of 93, which means he's well below the major league average right now. In fact, Triolo is at a 104 OPS plus. He's got a 753 OPS. So the average has to be somewhere in the high 740s. That's because all of Major League Baseball is hitting right now, because the pitchers are never ready at the same level at the beginning of the year as the hitters. That's why the Houston Astros no-hitter was just a shocking thing that happened the other night. Because that doesn't, like, normally the hitters are ahead of the pitchers, especially the way that they ramp them up now. You never see guys like go like 4, 5, 6 innings in spring training. They're still doing like 3 innings. They're still ramping up early on. Like we said, we had nobody hit the 6-inning mark through the first time in the rotation. So all of Major League Baseball is higher in terms of their production through the first week of the season than average. That will come back down. I do enjoy, though, seeing so many Pirates players well above the average OPS, though. They're not just up because the pitchers aren't ready. They're actually performing well out of the gate. Henry Davis, 118. Connor Joe, 158. That ain't going to last, right? O'Neill Cruz, 127. That could last. That OPS plus could last with him, okay? Cabrian Hayes, 169, if only. Michael A. Taylor, you're a defensive player. I don't know what you're doing with a 1064 OPS and a 183 OPS plus. Like, that's not going to happen. But the guy was a great signing right at the end. That what I pined for that guy for 2 months.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, why aren't we signing Michael A. Taylor? Why aren't we adding to our defense? Look at what you did in center field and the fact that he's producing at least early. Brian Reynolds, a 174 OPS plus. So, like, the guys out there are performing better than what the average is for Major League Baseball. They've also only had a series and a half at this point. So let's not get too excited. But I do find a lot of positives. Coming hot out of the gate, you can't just dismiss it. You have to say, wait a minute. This is a team that's hungry. This is a team that was prepared well in spring training. This is a team that was ready to go on day one. Not everybody in Major League Baseball was ready to go on day one. Just look at the standings.
Are you a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates and supporting small businesses? If so, Bucks in the Basement has you covered. Introducing the Bucks in the Basement Vouch Store with products from places like Split Rock Coffee. Coffee with a purpose. Established, owned, and operated by disabled veterans sworn to protect America. Or Camp Craft Cocktails. More than cocktails. It's a mission to build longer tables where everyone is welcome. We try and vouch for these products. Bucks in the Basement, proudly brought to you by Vouch. Visit our Vouch store at bucksinthebasement.com or simply click on the link in the show notes. We pointed out like a bunch of times, and I'll just basically point out again, I feel like there's absolutely reinforcements. I mean, we have a Peguero sitting down there if Aleka Williams starts to struggle. I mean, Nick Gonzalez, even though I dropped him for my fantasy team, he's looking pretty good at least to the start of the season. Pitching-wise, you have a lot more depth. So this is kind of like where we wanted to be, where the team wants to be right now. And I mean, for as much, you know, crap as we gave Charrington for, you know, the offseason that they had. I mean, he believed in these starting pitchers and this depth that they had a lot more than we did. We'll see how that works out health-wise and stuff. Yeah, so I mean,
we'll see, because I still stick to what I put out on X or Twitter or whatever you call it, that wild wasteland of crazy opinions. You had put something out about, like, where do you think that the Pirates are going to end up at when the season started? And I immediately responded to the Bucks in the Basement account that if they would have signed one more pitcher, I would be picking them to win the division.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way. It is very hard for me, even after a 5-0 start, to believe everything's going to fall in place. You're hopeful when you look at what's going on, when you see Priester's first start down there. You know what Skeens is, his first start that already happened down there. What was the story? The story was that Skeens started down the minors in the same day as Jared Jones, and Jones was like, I've got to do better than him. He took it as a personal challenge after watching in the dugout the minor league game. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That tells me there's culture. That tells me that there's something in there with these young guys. They're all coming up together. That's what you want. This, you know, when you're rebuilding, which is what the Pirates were in perpetually for years, you need to hear things like that. Like, you need air to breathe to believe that it's going to work out. And I don't know if it will work out, because trust me, in the end, they can be a good team that gets out hot. They can be a team that the reinforcements show up in terms of the arms that are down there, in terms of Skeens showing up and Priester showing up, and even Herman, if he's able to show up and give you high quality innings, and now all of a sudden you bump some of the guys at the bottom of this rotation out of there, and you've got Jones and Keller and those horses, and maybe, you know, the best of either Gonzalez or Perez as your top six starters that are available to you, and you have all these arms and you're ready for if an injury happens. Like, it could all work out, but the best teams for you to compete with the Dodgers, for you to win a championship, at some point, the cheapskate in the owner's box is going to have to pony up. And so you hope, you have to sit there and say, this is fun, this is exciting, this is great. Man, I hope at the end of this thing, when it's time for him to pony up, he does. That's my only concern right now, at least in the first five games.
And that's like the difference in, you know, competing for a wild card, competing for a division, competing for a World Series. I mean, there's like different tiers in there. And we saw a team like, you know, Arizona last year, which everybody will use as an example, you know, with their 84 wins. But that was also a team that was, I think, a lot better than their record. They struggled.
And is spending a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
Who has an owner who's now ponying up.
Yeah.
Notice that. That's an owner who saw his team go through a rebuild, get to a point where they were all of a sudden good, like what the Pirates are doing right now. And if this continues, will this owner pony up like the Diamondbacks are ponying up this year? Their highest payroll in history, saying, that's it. We've got this. We're not going to miss the chance. Will Charrington be rewarded if he built a good base and everything falls the right way? You know, it's falling that way early. In a week, we could be sitting there going, man, they lost six straight games.
Oh, God, Chris, you just jinxed us.
We could be shell-shocked. We could be. It's a long season.
I know,
we could
man.
Be shell-shocked. But if it works out, if he's built a good base, if it becomes time they actually spend, will he get the same kind of support that they're getting down in Arizona right now?
Or at least somewhat of a, I mean, I don't see it going as high, but I mean, just.
What is the difference in the marketplace? Honest to goodness, what is the difference between Phoenix and Pittsburgh? It can't be that different. It can't be, right? It can't be. What is it? What is the net worth of the two owners? They've got to be so close. And we're talking about if there's one that's more rich than the other one, we're talking, what, $500 million difference? One's got 3.5 and the other one's got 4? So I don't want to hear the excuse. Like, if they get to a point, okay, Bob's got to pay. He's got to. He's got to pay.
He definitely has to. And I mean, speaking of money, Chris, I know it was on the bottom of our list here, is that a lot of people were talking about JT Brubaker being traded as like a quote unquote salary dump. And that's like one thing that, you know, Pirates fans have kind of gotten somewhat used to an extent. I mean, coming back from Tommy John surgery, he was actually a guy back in the offseason that I put out there as a possible, you know, non-tender candidate, just because you didn't know what you had with him. They ended up, you know, tendering him to, I think it was like $2.275 million, working his way back. I think I've seen anywhere that he's been targeted to come back anywhere from June to, you know, the end of July, just because you don't know exactly how these rehabs are going to go. There could be bumps, there could be different stuff. But we also said this wasn't a guy, once we knew he might be coming back, that you could count on. I think a lot of people.
He's not a guy that I like for my rotation if this rotation is going to be good. If you're going to bring Priester up and you're going to get Skeens up and you're going to hold on to the guys that are already up there, I don't think he's not good enough to make a five-man rotation on a competitive team. I'm sorry. He's not. We're talking about a guy with a career whip of 1.384, a FIP. Fielding independent pitching of 4.43. His best season in 21, when he goes 124 innings, which isn't enough because you need guys that are going to go longer. His best season statistically in terms of keeping his whip under 1.30, his fielding independent pitching was over a 5. His ERA was over a 5. So it was realistic that he was giving up 5 runs over 9. He's at best a fifth starter. And so if you don't have him in your plans because you see all this other talent, then you're just letting go a guy who is almost to 30 years old and is never going to be an impact pitcher. I know you loved him back when, because of the potential, but that was back when this team was going to lose 100 games a year. And a team that is, this team here isn't going to lose 100 games a year and doesn't have room for a guy like JT Brubaker anymore. The Yankees are taking – it's the Yankees he went to, right? They're rolling the dice in the hopes that they can find something in him that the Pirates couldn't unlock, and that he heals well, and all of a sudden they catch lightning in a bottle with him because they're desperate to find arms. I don't have a problem with getting rid of him because I don't see anything in JT Brubaker that makes me believe he's one of your five starters in 2024 or 2025 or 2026.
Yeah, and I mean, he only had 1 year left of arbitration. And the other piece is that, I mean, we sent some international bonus pool space, and I will emphasize space till like the end of time because people think it's actual money that is exchanged hands. No, basically the Yankees can spend more money in the international market and the Pirates could spend less after this deal. Ben Cherington went on his quote unquote Ben Cherington show on the flagship, you know, 93.7 The Fan. And said that they do like explain the player to be named later. That's the one thing is that they get a list. They give the Yankees a list and say, we're going to choose from these guys. We need time to scout these guys. We need time to get, you know, our eyes on them. Or is it okay if we choose from this list of guys? They say, okay. The Pirates have a certain amount of time to make that choice. If they decide, hey, none of these guys that we agreed on, then money does exchange hands. It becomes cash considerations that go back to the Pirates. But I honestly believe the Pirates have like an eye on like a few of the Yankees prospects. I can't even speculate whether it would be, you know, one of those high ceiling guys that's down in the Dominican or the FCL or something like that, that they want to get more eyes on. If it's a guy that, you know, maybe struggled in like low A last year. I mean, there could be a bunch of different ways that they're looking at this, but in trading JT Brubaker, yes, $2.275 million came off the books, but you didn't know exactly what you were getting from him when he came back from a Tommy John surgery from, you know, a year and a half off here. And this is when a lot of players, especially, you know, not even with the Pirates, will get traded, is when they have just that 1 to 1.5 years of control, whatever it would be here when he comes back. So it's not even something that, you know, it's only the Pirates' way of doing things. A lot of teams do things that way. So that's when I just basically heard people out there saying, oh, this is a salary dump. This is a salary dump. And it was like, did you really count on JT? He was one of the guys that we listed as like, you know, one of the 14 pitchers who could possibly contribute this year, but you didn't know exactly what you were getting from him. And like you said, Chris, you know, the numbers that he put out when he was actually on the mound for the Pirates, I mean, they weren't great. I mean, he looked like he was going to do something in spring training last year before he ended up getting injured. But you see guys go out and perform well in spring training and then, you know, stink it up on the mound in the regular season or, you know, vice versa. So, I mean, for JT, I always wish him the best. Like you said, I was always very high on him, you know, 2019, 2020, especially watching him down in the minors in 19 and stuff. So,
you loved him.
I did.
I remember.
I did.
We just started the show and you're like, watch out for this JT Brubaker, a 6th round pick who's doing something in the minors. And you know what? He did enough to become a major league baseball pitcher. Good for him. He may end up a swing guy. He may be a guy at the back end of a rotation on a bad pitching staff. He may be somebody who ends up being a nice bullpen arm because a lot of really good bullpen arms start out as guys just like JT Brubaker. But if the Pirates are sitting there saying, look, we don't think this guy's going to help us this year, and we don't see him in our rotation long term, and we would like to use that money elsewhere, then I'm okay with the deal. Because again, it all goes back to the idea that every single problem you have with the Pittsburgh Pirates ends with Bob Nutting because it's his budget. That's it. It ends with Bob Nutting. It's always him. If Ben Cherington has to sit there and convince himself that Domingo Germán is finally going to be a good citizen, it's because he has to shop in the aisle of pitchers that most other teams don't want to shop in because he was only given a paltry amount of money to spend by the guy who has all the money. It always ends. If you have a problem with something that the Pirates are doing, 9 times out of 10, it's Nutting. I think the only thing I've been upset about with Cherington is why did he spend all the money he spent on Aroldis Chapman? Like, that's, like if you needed money and you needed a pitcher, I don't think I would have spent that money on a relief pitcher. That's the only thing I've really questioned to this point, because everything else deep down in the end is a result of the way that Bob Nutting runs the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this is a general manager who has to work within those constraints. It's how I always judge general managers. How are they doing within the constraints that were given to them? It's why you look at, if you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, you'll sit there and you'll say, man, everybody wants people from their front office. It's not because they're spending a ton. It's because they have to work within the constraints, and they do a good job working within those constraints. All right.
And that's what it's going to be. And here's the other part is that, I mean, we'll see how this season goes, Chris. And we've even said, you know, prior to this season is, you know, what they start out their budget as and what they start out their salaries as, you know, the payroll may not be what they ended as. We've seen, you know, Nutting in the past when the team has started to perform well, you know, during the season, once they get to the trade deadline, then they become people who can, you know, acquire players. So look ahead to that. But for right now, I'm just enjoying the start. I'm enjoying baseball. I'm enjoying being at my friend's house, you know, on Easter and being able to enjoy the Pirate game instead of having to explain to every single person there, you know, why I'm still a Pirates fan. So I will take some joy and some solace in that, Chris. And hopefully, you know, 162-0 and we'll be good.
I mean, here's the thing. Look at their schedule here as we conclude this show. They're at the Nationals right now, and the Nationals are a bad team. The Orioles, in my mind, are scary, but they're not the scariest team in the world. They really aren't. They're a team that probably should have spent a little bit more themselves in the offseason and used some of the assets that they had in a different way. The Tigers are not world beaters. They're just winning games because they started off against the White Sox. This is a team early on that should be able to at least play 500 ball or better, and has a couple of teams they're going to run into that they're better than. We couldn't say that years ago. When they play Boston at home later on this month, they're the better team on the field. The Pirates are the better team on the field for that one. The four-game series against the Brewers after that, it's time to prove you're the new kids on the block and you're ready to go. You're even going to run into the A's at the end of the month. There's wins out there for you and there's statements you can make. And it'll just be interesting to see how much can they do before the presumed rotation pieces that are waiting down in the wings are actually called up once they know that they have the control they have for that extra year because they want this to go long term. Can they just maintain a winning record? I think they can. I think they can. And if they do it, I think that it's going to be a really fun summer.
I can't disagree with you. Go ahead, people.
Wait. Well, no, I'm speaking logic. I'm a logical person.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Okay. That's what this show is. Bucks in the Basement. The home of logic.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.